Technorama episode 492. Title goes here.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I've lost that loving feeling. Where, oh, where did it go?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, then thank you for joining us. Actually, you may be watching as well. Let's just say if this is your first time joining us, welcome. If you are returning, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time once again. I am Chuck Tomasi in Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me all the way from South Carolina is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig? Your audio blitzed out a little bit. No, we're losing you, Craig. All I got out of that was I'm.
Come on.
Oh, there's your audio. You're back. I don't know. Someone watching a Netflix movie and sucking up all your bandwidth tonight?
Probably.
Or it could be me.
Actually, I was saying I was a little frustrated because, well, I don't have a new MacBook Pro, but there's a limited number of USB ports on this thing.
You need what I got. You need a Thunderbolt port expander. It's about $300 bucks. You hook it up to a Thunderbolt port. It gives you 5 more USB, a couple more Thunderbolts, HDMI, all kinds of good stuff. It's a wonderful thing.
It is pretty cool. I am looking for like a little, like you said, what'd you call it?
The port.
You got a port extender, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at one of those, just a charger has USB ports all over it.
I got one of those too. But that's just for charging. Or are you charging at the same time?
Yeah, I know. But I could set up a charge. I got a whole other table over here. I could set up a whole charging station. But anyway.
All right, let's get into it. We have coming up in this show, we have some news about light speed, nanotubes, and body counts. But before we get into all of that, we have some feedback. Oh, yes.
Yay!
We have feedback.
Letters.
We just love the music.
Oh, we get your letters every day.
Mailman!
Letters.
Letters.
Find out what you've got to say.
Oh,
letters.
Boy.
He's got letters.
We're going to have like the techno remix of this.
Letters.
Actually, the retro remix is even better. We have a message from John Noble, our longtime faithful Patreon, PayPal. Oh, man. And I just sent his book out yesterday. So, John, you should be getting your book in the mail any day now if you're listening to this fairly soon after episode 491 comes out. He says, I was listening to episode 490 through YouTube. I think YouTube's better for watching things, but hey, you do what you want to do. When you got to the Remember When segment, I had a sudden flashback when you showed the IBM Key Punch machine. Oh, the Model 29 of, yes, I have my punch cards right here. Let's pull one at random. It says it's a data card, has some dimensions, and I even know what application that went to. That was the shipping program. It was the dimensions of a box. But anyway, back to John. Squirrel.
Yeah.
I spent many hours at the University Computer Center between midnight and 6 a.m. typing programs on cards using those machines. I also used the Commodore PET computer in the physics lab to control equipment. And my first personal computer was a Radio Shack Trash 80 Model 3.
Trash. You know, I don't think you can ever read that without saying trash 80.
Nope. Thanks for the sudden flashback to distant memories buried deep within my mind. That's what we're here to do.
It's actually in our mission statement, you know? pull out buried memories.
cause people to go back to therapy. Yep.
I know.
We can do that. We also have one from Yorga. He was listening to the last, I think it was the last episode. We said, hey, Yorga, where are you now? We need your address because we need to send you postcards. He says, I'm back near Antwerp now. I no longer work at Google, so no need to live in the French-speaking part. But what I did at Google and what I can talk about is all on his CV. That's like, that's kind of like everybody else's version of a resume. It's like a curriculum vitae.
Yeah, also, it took me a second. I was like, CV. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Not constant velocity. Because if you're if you're into cars, CV boots break all the time and your CV joints will go bad. Anyway, a squirrel again. Also, I used that new Japanese supercomputer. Oh, we talked about the Japanese supercomputer that was really, really super fast. And he said he would use it for figuring out stronger cryptography. I like it.
Yeah.
Excellent use of that.
Stronger cryptology.
Do we have any voicemail? Let's check. Nothing. like Yukon Cornelius, since it's about that time of year. Woohoo! Nothing.
That's right.
We just tasted the voicemail box and it was empty.
And it's pretty, rusty too.
Please. Send us some voicemail. Call the listener line at 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. We need a musical jingle so it sticks in people's minds better.
Well, I heard that every time we get a voicemail, an angel gets the swings.
Wow. There must be like two angels in heaven. They are rocking out.
That's rocking out.
Send us some more. Give an angel its wings, and we're going to do the history thing. That almost rhymed. On this day in history for December 7, 2016, this is the 341st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. Oh, there are sadly only 24 days remaining in 2016. Wow. It is coming up quick, folks. And then we get to start the big numbers again on the other side of that equation. It was on this date in 1732 that the Royal Opera House opens at Covent Garden, London, England.
And it was 229 years ago today, Delaware becomes the first state to ratify the United States Constitution.
Also today in 1869, American outlaw Jesse James commits his first confirmed bank robbery at Gallatin, Missouri. Oh, it was like yesterday. Remember his first bank robbery?
And it wasn't the last. And also on December 7th, 1917, as part of World War I, the United States, declares war on Austria-Hungary.
I'm hungry. It was this date in 1930 that W1XAV in Boston, Massachusetts telecast video from the CBS radio orchestra program, The Fox Trappers. The telecast also includes the first television commercial in the United States, an advertisement for I.J. Fox Furriers, who sponsored the radio show.
And it was 75 years ago today that the Imperial Japanese Navy carries out a surprise attack on the United States Pacific Fleet and its defending Army and Marine Air Force bases at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii.
Also, December 7th, 1963, Instant Replay makes its debut during an Army-Navy football game in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, United States.
Now we got it everywhere. It's called TiVo.
Now we only allow, you have to throw a red flag and you charge a timeout. Yeah,
that's right. I do that at my wife. Hey, I got to rewind that.
Yeah.
Anyway, April 17th, the last Apollo moon mission is launched. The crew takes the photograph known as the Blue Marble. As they leave the United States Earth on this date in 1972.
Where were they going?
Hey, I guess they did leave the United States, right?
Yes, technically they did. It was that same date in 1982 in Texas. Charles Brooks Jr. becomes the first person to be executed by lethal injection in the United States.
And it was also on this date in 1995 that the Galileo spacecraft arrives at Jupiter a little more than 6 years after it was launched by the space shuttle Atlantis on mission STS-34.
Galileo, Galileo, can you do the fandango? Hey, we were just talking about Thunderbolt, weren't we? Thunderbolt of lightning. Yeah. Anyway, that same date in 1999, the Recording Industry Association of America sues the peer-to-peer file-sharing service Napster, allegedly alleging copyright infringement.
And also on this day in 2015, the JAXA probe, Akasuki, successfully enters orbit around Venus 5 years after its first attempt.
Happy birthday goes out on this day to Persian astronomer and author Abdal Rahman al-Safadi. Born in this date in 903.
That's wild. Born December 7th, 1810, German physiologist and biologist Theodor Schwann.
Might be Theodor Schwann, but we'll go with that. Theodor. Leopold Kronecker, the Polish-German mathematician and academic, was born 193 years ago today.
And Croatian mathematician, physicist, and academic Danilo Blanjusa. Blanjusa? Okay, there we go. Blanjusa. I don't know how to do the S with the little thing. It was born on 113 years ago today, or is that a typo?
No, that belongs there.
Okay.
American voice actor and singer Clarence Ducky Nash. He did the voice of Donald Duck for years and years for Disney. He was born on this date in 1904.
And also born on December 7th, 1905, Dutch-American astronomer and academic Gerard Kuiper.
Kuiper. Wow.
Got it wrong.
Now you screwed me up. It's the Kuiper belt, you know, that thing that holds up Kuiper's pants.
Yeah, that's right.
American actor Ted Koenigt was born in this state in 1923.
You got to read it like Ted Knight. An American actor, Jeffrey Wright, is 51 today. Among other roles, he plays Bernard in HBO's Westworld.
I'm not giving a spoiler alert on there. Oh, you mean like Ted Knight as in American actor Ted Knight was born on this date in 1923. Also
meanwhile,
born the same
the
day.
Hall of Justice.
Same day. Well, if you ask for it, why not? Anyway. Also born that same day in 1989, English actor Nicholas Hoult. He plays the Beast in the X-Men films.
And also turning 27 today is American actor Caleb Landry Jones, played by Banshee. What? Played Banshee, Owen.
He played
in,
Banshee.
X-Men. I gotcha.
Oops.
I thought I said played by, and then I'm wrong.
Let's get through the birthdays real fast. Birthday calendar says December 7th is Peter, a.k.a. Zipster from Zip & Co. podcast in Dorset, UK. The 8th is two birthdays, Dan D-Man and Gideon, a.k.a. Michael H. Steve Kite, Big Unit 62, is on the 9th. Deckard, who I used to work with, is on the 12th, and we have two more birthdays on the 12th. Kevin Burns, a.k.a. Soul Blaze, and Matt Blocker, the giant long-term listener of the show. That's the way it was on this date in history for December 7th, 2016. Take us out, music people. Where did you go?
I'm just getting my charger. So I
thought you were marching off the screen too.
Yeah, I was doing my thing.
Hey, don't forget you can subscribe to our calendar. We are adding things all the time, and it's easier than ever now that I've written an app for it. Go to chuckchat.com/technorama and look at the right side banner. We have a calendar there. You can subscribe to it, and then you will know what we know when we know it.
Hey, you know what's funny is Matt Blocker, he has his website on there, thegiant.us.
Yes.
Well, I clicked on it just to see if it was still active. And of course, it says buy this domain now for only $999.
Wow.
So, no, it's not active. Come on, man.
Darn it. Okay.
Actually, I think in some ways our birthday calendar is becoming a graveyard of websites.
Could be.
Who likes good news, everyone?
I do.
Then good news, everyone.
I do. Well, this is news from last week that some of you may have heard, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Modern science assumes that the speed of light has always been the same. Researchers have suggested that this seeming constant may have changed over time. However, they have a way to find out whether or not it's true. Professors Zhao Migayo, and Nayesh Ashfordi have developed developed a prediction that should test for changes in light speed. They've given the fluctuations in density in the early universe detected through cosmic background radiation an exact spectral index number based on the theory that light was much faster in the first seconds following the Big Bang. I was much faster when I was young, too. If future measurements of the index line up with this number, they'll support the notion that light speed has shifted. It's not as bold of a prediction as you might think. Existing estimates have spectral index at 0.968, which is just close enough that the scientists could be right if there's wiggle room. Okay. The challenge, of course, is collecting data with high enough accuracy that you can make a definitive call. There's no guarantee that this will happen anytime soon. If the variable light speed concept is ever proven right, though, it would change our understanding of how the universe expanded. Right now, the constant speed theory doesn't give enough time for light to have traveled to where it is in the cosmos, evening out the universe's energy. Super fast light! Isn't that the Flash?
The Flash.
Would fill in that gap and force scientists to rethink early existence. And if light has always traveled at the same speed, that both rules out the variability theory, lends weight to an existing inflation concept, where the universe briefly evened out before expanding rapidly. Either way, science wins. I like it because people aren't afraid to question the status quo anymore.
Yeah. Actually, you know, when I read that how powerful gravity is or can be in the universe besides just here, you know, we got it here and everywhere, like a black hole kind of thing. I was thinking, I wondered if that would speed up or slow down the speed of light.
Gravity? Well, it can bend light. I don't know if it speeds it up or slows it down.
That's what I'm saying. After reading this, I started thinking about that. I was like, I wonder if gravity would have an effect on light. It would have to be like super, high end gravity to affect it.
High end gravity, but is that like the gold plated connectors?
Yeah, high end. You know what I'm saying, though? I mean, it would have to be some very concentrated gravity, I think, to affect. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We have people we can ask, because our super duper Technorama assistant is sending out questionnaires to higher powered brains than ours to ask these types of questions. So we may get to do some interviews in the upcoming weeks and months and talk about things like that. So put that on the interview request worksheet for you, and we'll see if we can get one of them to say, hey, can gravity affect the speed of light, not just where it's headed?
Well, I imagine that nobody's really, I'm probably shooting in the dark, because if this article wait a minute.
I love it when he's funny and doesn't try to be.
What I'm saying is, obviously they think that light travels at a certain speed regardless, because this article just came out. So nobody else, I'm sure nobody's really, I don't know. Is it a thing? I don't know.
Well, the other question is what does it mean to us today? If we can find out if the universe changed, expanded at a different rate, obviously it sounds like it adjusts the age of the universe.
It could, yeah.
But what does that mean to me, Chuck Tomasi? How does that affect me in my day-to-day life?
Your career is over.
I should have died 6 millennia ago. We're adjusting for inflation. We'll have to do like the Gregorian calendar did, and we'll just take out a few days in October or September, whenever it was. All right.
My buddy Fred Smith, the chat room, he said powdered gravity from concentrate.
Oh, powdered. I read that a little too quickly. That's good. Just add Hawkins, says Clinton.
That's right.
So thank you. We have Mike Wills and Tim Elliott and Fred Smith. And Gary Lindros, lots of familiar names in here. Thank you for watching. Thank you for contributing and being in the chat room. We will give you, we just did give you a shout out, but we'll give you a smiley face too. Here, thumbs up. There we go.
I'm giving some love.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some more Hacks and Strange Stories, one of my favorite segments in the whole show, because this is where it really goes off the rails many times. We'll be right back.
Greetings from TG Geeks Webcast, where
Ben
and Keith, the two gay geeks, talk about all aspects of geekdom and nerdery. Sci-fi, comics, film, horror, genre, you name it, we talk about it.
Find our episodes each week on tggeeks.com.
Visit our Facebook page, TG Geeks Webcast.
On Google Plus and YouTube, look for us as Two Gay Geeks. You can tweet at TG Geeks and at the Two Gay Geeks.
Or call our feedback line at 469-TG-GEEKS. That is 469-844-3357. Happy listening. Peace.
Cheers.
Hey, this is Neil Grayson. I play Douglas Fargo on Eureka, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig.
Woo. Oh, yeah.
I think he was on Legends of Tomorrow? No, he was on something else recently. I can't remember where I saw him.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I can't remember.
Anyway, We're also going back and watching Grimm and Supernatural. And we saw the actress that plays Laurel Lance on Arrow, or used to play Laurel Lance. Mm-hmm. And she showed up on Supernatural. We're watching them in parallel. And I have to think, are they salting and burning bones or are they killing demons to separate which show is which?
How does this affect my life?
It's good old-fashioned entertainment.
Okay.
It's Hacks and Strange Stories time. Thanks for not.
Time.
It's like Howdy Doody time.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, I figured this one would tickle your funny bone this week, because Craig's an old Commodore 64 head. What are they? Do you have like a nickname for them? C64s or?
We call it C64.
Yeah, but what are the fanboys of C64s called?
I just usually call it 64. You know, boil it down there, you know?
2 to the 6th? I don't know.
Yeah, 64. I'm a Commodore 64.
Do you want to take this story? Go ahead.
Sure. Okay. Now, before I start this, I'm going to say that I've kind of questioned this has to do with Slack, you know, just the app that you can use to interface with other people, kind of chat and share stuff.
Yep.
Sometimes I wonder myself, why use Slack? Okay. To begin with.
I often do too. It seems like a glorified chat to me.
It is. Yeah. But here you go. Old technology was reincarnated this year.
Recarbonated.
That's right. There was the NES Classic Edition, the Kodak's revamped Super 8 camera, and now a software engineer named Jeff Harris is twisting the formula by bringing modern technology to the past. He wrote software that runs on the popular messaging service Slack on his Commodore 64. As you might recall, you can probably assume that the C64 doesn't have a USB-C or even a USB port. Instead, it has this big parallel port. It's actually the precursor to USB-C. No. Instead, it had something called a user port. So it would to run his custom software, Harris created a cable from the user port on one end and to a USB TTL RS-232 converter on the other, which then he used to connect the C64 to a Raspberry Pi. And Raspberry Pi serves as the Commodore's connection to the internet. Okay.
So effectively, he made like a serial modem effect, a serial IP.
Yeah.
Adapter out of the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah. A serial port on the Commodore is not a problem. That's basically what the user port is. And you can get USB to RS-232 converters all day long online. So yeah, it makes sense. And using a Raspberry Pi, that's probably not, I was just thinking that's not that much of a stretch of, you know, they used to have expansion cartridges that go on the 64. So, I mean, the Raspberry Pi is not that much bigger.
I watched the video and it looks like the Raspberry Pi is doing the lion's share of the heavy lifting on this project.
It is. The Commodore is just a client.
Yeah.
Or not even a client, not even a full client.
Exactly.
Well, I guess it may be, I think it's just. Is it actually I'm just trying to figure out,
both of them put together, it sounds like, are a full Slack client. But I wasn't real clear as to how much Slack, I hate to say it, but Slackware is on the C64. and what work the Raspberry Pi is doing. Because at first it sounded like it was doing all of the channel selection and the Slack work, and the C64 was kind of a dumb terminal to the thing.
Yeah, kind of. Which brings me back. What did you use Slack for? Actually, I'm curious if anybody does use Slack for actual work.
There are subsets in our company that use it quite extensively, actually.
Yeah, I mean, okay, let's put it this way. I see the value of it. I can look at it and go, okay, cool. Here's all the files that are in the chat, and here's the... But you know what? You get the same thing through the Messenger on iOS or Mac. You know, I can go to the attachments, or I can... You name, you know, whatever kind of app you want to use for group sharing. I'm just wondering what's the value of Slack.
Let's put it out there to the listeners. Do you use Slack? And if so, what for? And what are we missing in this value proposition?
Hey, and if it was on a Commodore 64, would you be more inclined to use it?
Oh, God, no. All right. Well, this is right. The next story is right up there with the flavor of Technorama holidays.
That's right.
I want to talk to this guy. He disassembled an iMac, very similar to what's sitting here in the studio, and sort of stuck it on some pegboard on his office door. But then he built a fireplace around it. So when you walk into his office at work, it's a beautiful fireplace. And the 27-inch flat screen is displaying this fire like you're walking in. Almost like it's kind of like a secret hidden compartment to the building.
It does.
Oh, push the doorknob next to the fireplace and you get into my office. But he went through a lot of effort to A, disassemble this thing, get it working, build this cardboard infrastructure for the mantelpiece and the faux brickware, which is basically wrapping paper around the cardboard. But that's a lot of work for the holidays.
Hey, wait till his boss sees what he did with his iMac.
Let's hope this was dumpster diving material. And then, of course, he put on the it must be like the video YouTube, the YouTube video for the video fireplace.
Either that or the Netflix one. That's funny.
So if you want to see, there are some short little video loops of the fire going. He's hung stockings there. It's one way to make sure that people don't know whether you're in the office or not.
Yeah.
Hey, no fires in the office. So very, very creative.
Hey, by the way, he said he added an IR blaster so he could change the volume with the Apple remote.
Oh, right. Yes. He said he left the IR. Yeah.
That's funny.
In other news, very strange news, but I don't know if I would have put this in the news rather than the Hacks and Strange Stories, but I didn't do the show notes this week. Nanotubes can turn water solid when it should be boiling. This was right up there with the other news story about the speed of light as one of the most interesting scientific news stories of the week. As I was going through my weekend review, these came up a couple of times. Scientists have long known that under the right conditions, small amounts of water can be coaxed into changing its boiling or freezing point. A pot of water takes less energy to boil at the top of Mount Everest. If you want to go up there to boil water, that's your prerogative. For instance, and liquid under pressure takes a little more heat to convert it into steam. A group of researchers at MIT have recently taken this effect a step farther, observing that water in nanotubes can actually freeze into a solid at temperatures well beyond its natural boiling point. Yikes. Quote, if you confine a fluid to a nanocavity, I think I have those in my teeth. You can actually distort its phase behavior, explains MIT's Michael Strano. In the research group's nanotube test environment, would that be the NTE? Because you got to use acronyms on this. Water solidified at temperatures north of 222 degrees Fahrenheit or 105 C. Research has expected the liquid's freezing and boiling temperatures to shift but not by such a wide degree. Quote, the effect is much greater than anyone had anticipated, Strano said. All bets are off when you get really small. I think that's what Ray Palmer said. Yeah. When you put now on the Adam suit. Okay.
That's right.
The group was used a technique. Someone needs a typo here. The group used a technique called vibrational spectroscopy to confirm that the nanotube confined water shifted to a, quote, stiff phase, but researchers are hesitant to say the water was frozen. Better call Elsa. It's not necessarily ice, Strano says, but it's an ice-like phase. Terminology aside, the phenomenon could be used to create highly conductive, stable water wires. Water wires? Sounds futuristic. Want to hear more? You can find the research group's findings at the source link through our show notes.
Ooh. Now, hey, by the way, speaking of freezing boiling water.
Yes.
I saw something that was kind of interesting, and I'd never seen this phenomenon before. But I saw this vacuum sealer that was recently purchased, and they were demonstrating it, and the guy put
a food water. Saver?
It's kind of like a food saver. It's a little more than just that.
Okay.
It's more than just a countertop one. You actually put the bag inside of it, and it sucks the air out. And the water, so he had put some water in a bag and went to seal it. And you can see once it starts pulling the atmospheres out of the atmospheric pressure out of that thing.
Yeah.
The water starts boiling. But it's not hot.
Right, because as the pressure goes down, the temperature goes down. The temperature needed to boil the water doesn't necessarily mean it's hot.
No, it's not hot. I mean, we immediately took it out and you can hold it back.
At what point it converts from a liquid to a gas.
Yeah, but it was amazing to see the water sitting inside that bag.
Yeah.
Because the top of the unit was clear, like a clear acrylic.
Well, think about liquid nitrogen. It's really, really cold. But it's still really, really cold when it boils.
Yes, that's true. And I watched that YouTube channel just today, and the guy's like got his hands all in it. Well, he was doing he wasn't actually in it, but he would touch it, and you could see him pull his hand back like it was hurting. Not hurting, but anyway. But it was cool to see the water boil like that, and then immediately it's not doing anything, and it's not hot.
Right.
You know, once you take it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, because your mind says, it's boiling. It's going to be hot. It's going to hurt my hand.
I know, right?
But it's not. All right. As I mentioned, we do this show live every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern time, unless real life interferes and we have a business trip or something. So you can watch us by going to our Facebook page. Wow. It's been a few weeks since we converted. Facebook page.
It is on YouTube.
It is, but we're not live on YouTube anymore.
Right.
And you can join us in the live chat like so many of the others did that we gave a shout out to before. Follow us, like us, and you'll get notified when we do this live each week. And if you can't join us live, here's a reminder. You can still go to our Facebook page, or we have this available as an audio podcast released each Wednesday. A lot of times it's Tuesday night, so the people in like Australia get it on their Wednesday.
That's right.
It's the Wednesday after we record this, so we're online Sunday. And then we got to have time to produce and perfect, iron out the wrinkles, and then release it on Wednesday. So we encourage you to subscribe if you can, and then you can take it with you and listen to it at 35,000 feet on an airplane. Also want to give a thank you to the patrons. Play that Patreon music.
Here we go.
We have people who actually give up hard, cold cash for this show. And in return, we give them special episodes. Only
I don't know if it's a fair exchange, but we'll take it.
I think it's quite amicable. It's like, what is it? A symbiotic relationship, not a parasitic one. Thank you to our symbionts.
Symbionts.
I'm feeling kind of trill myself. I'm trilled with the whole situation.
Right.
Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills. Who I believe is online. Did we not see Mike? We did see Mike is online. Yep.
Yeah, he's on here.
Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, a.k.a. Grandpa Choco. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnaud, Nick St. Gabriel, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Leon, and John Noble, whom we mentioned before in the feedback section. We still have room on our list for you, wonderful listener / viewer / stalker, whatever we're calling you these weeks.
Right.
very happy. You know what? And if you don't think you've got the money in your wallet for that, well, if you do, first let me tell you, go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast and click the donate button for as little as a dollar a show. You get that special episode. You support us. We love you. We mention you on the show. Send you books at the or postcards, something at the holiday season as a thank you. But you know what? If you don't have that money or you want to do something for dirt free, even if you are a patron, just share this Facebook video post. Because the more people we reach, the more nerds get involved with this discussion and the more fun everybody has. It's good for you. It's good for us. It's good for the economy.
It's a win-win.
Someone's a winner.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. That's all the commercials we're going to have in this episode. Play that out. Okay, then, we get to talk about dead people in the comics, don't we?
That's right.
All right, Media Corner. Not Remember When this week. Don't Remember When.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Remember
hey,
When.
Where can I find some good information about music?
There's
and
nothing
TV
in the
room.
Over there
in the Media Corner.
Well, if you took a count of how many people the superheroes kill, because they do kill people, and you think, wow, Deadpool's pretty violent, right? Well, he didn't start out that way. We're going to heatstreet.com and looking at an article that they put up about, the merc with the mouth. He didn't register many minutes or as much of a body count during his first on-screen appearance in X-Men Origins Wolverine. I'm going to have to go back and look. Was he in? Wow.
Yes.
I do not remember that at all.
It's because he was in an incarnation, which was nothing like this.
Okay.
I don't think it was very much like this at all.
However, when it came to his 2015 solo film, he racked up 43 kills. And that sounds like a lot, but not
actually,
when compared to some of these other people.
Actually, I thought that was low, but I guess not. Okay.
No, there were initial scene had a bunch of people, and I'm sure there were probably people in the car accident that they didn't count who may or may not have died from their injuries, but we'll move on. Batman, the Cape Crusader, the Dark Knight has racked up a body count of 45, which also seems kind of low. Captain America, whom you think would have a very low body count, not so much. He's got 44.
Actually, he's about on par with Deadpool.
But a lot of his guys are bad guys, right? He's not. And we're not counting like the Avengers when buildings fell on people, are we?
No.
Okay. No. Hit Girl. If you want some solid numbers, look no further than Hit Girl, whose every kill in Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2 is up there with the screen in vivid detail. Tiny as she is, she's a slaughterhouse with two legs and a colored wig. Her body count is 48.
Yeah, you know she was going to be up to something when her dad was shooting her in the chest at the beginning of that first one.
Good family bonding time.
Yeah.
Iron Man is a little bit higher.
Wow.
68. Now we're getting into the serious stuff with Wolverine. Wolverine, he's a more violent guy. He's always running around stabby stabby. And he's up to 108. that's a Sam Roberts term when she's playing her RPGs.
But you know what? It can all be forgiven because look how chiseled he is. Hey, baby.
And Frank Castle, a.k.a. The Punisher, he's, well, if we count, The Punisher 89, 2004, and Warzone in 2008, we're up to 167. But the all-time winner, we need some really cool music for that. I just don't have it with me. Let me see. Nope. It's not going to do it. Darn it. The all-time winner with the count of tens of millions, or maybe even more, is Ozymandias from The Watchmen. Remember, yes. He kind of took out, about a fifth of the population of the world?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And that rounds out our superheroes.
And he was okay with it.
Yeah, that's the sad part. He was doing the world a favor, bringing them peace. What is the cost of peace? Well, apparently it's pretty high.
Sociopath.
Oh, and then nobody else has to die. Let's turn to the Geek Library. Stick in the Super Friends. A little early again.
Yeah. Hey, you know what, Chuck? It's okay. It happens to most guys.
All right, then twice. Just because I'm that kind of guy. It's the Nerdy Gift Guide for 2016.
And I put this in there for a reason.
It's almost the it is the holiday season.
Well, remember last time we asked people what was on your geek Christmas list.
And I suspect you want the picture of the, I don't have any images for this one. You want the picture in the show notes of the Lady Stormtrooper. That's your, yeah, it's your gift idea.
Hey, it's only one thing, but yeah, sure. I'll take it.
Struggling to find the perfect gift for your nerdy family member, friend, or partner? Use our professional or our personalized professional. This show's anything but professional. Use our personalized gifting tips to help you with your quest to really impress the ones you love. A little bit of thought can go a long way. So first, we suggest a small bit of research on social media and local nerdy hangouts. After a few observations, you can probably narrow down if your friend would want a tangible gift or an experience gift. Use this nerdy gift guide for all your gamer, techie, comic book nerd friends. They have things in here like a drone. Drones are cool, and you can get them for like $40 now. Not too bad. However,
you know what?
I'm going to counter Yeah, go ahead.
I would love a drone, but the one, I want one that can shoot HD video.
Where would you fly this? Because the restrictions are getting more and more tight on when and where you can fly these things.
You can fly them everywhere. It doesn't matter.
You can't fly them at the Grand Canyon. You can't fly them in your backyard. You can't fly them in a park. You can't fly them where there's people. You can't fly them where there's planes. You can't fly them. It's getting...
I said I wanted one. I didn't say I wanted... I don't know. There's lots of places I'd fly it. Up in the mountains. I don't know.
You're right, though. From an HD video standpoint, this would be cool.
See, I want one, but when you start talking about HD video or whatever, you start getting the $500 on up. I'm like, you know, that's just, I don't know. Especially the cool ones.
So get
like
a $40 drone and duct tape a GoPro to it. You're better off.
Well, you see in the picture, that little black one that folds up right there. That's awesome, but it's like $1,000. It's that little, is it a Mavic Pro, I think? Something, I don't know. Anyway.
If you want tangible gifts like toys, you know, in the past, Craig has sent me things like the DeLorean.
Yeah.
Which I happen to have here. You can also get things like the Firefly Cargo Crate. It's got the Serenity and some of the characters from the show in there.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Or an R2-D2 bento box. For gamers, an Xbox gift card would be great, or a Steam gift card. For your techies, an Amazon Fire Stick, a Kindle, maybe an Echo. We mentioned earlier in the show, we will be coming up with the Echo. I have a great idea for that.
What do you mean a great idea for
that? I mean, the
explain yourself,
what I meant,
Tomasi.
The idea of what the guy did in our upcoming article is terrific. What he did with the Echo the Google Home.
Yeah, right.
Or how about an experience gift? That means not someone who is experienced, but something you go and experience, like conventions. If you have a nerdy friend who has not been to a con or hasn't been to one in a while, think about things like, the Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention, Comic-Con San Diego, Megacon. Look on the internet. There are tons of cons all over the place. One probably not far from you, of varying size and capacity. I was surprised when I lived in Appleton to find out there were cons in Appleton or Green Bay. You know, there just aren't. They weren't very large, but they were a lot of fun. KitsuneCon is in Appleton, which is all about anime and manga. Arcades. When's the last time you've been to an arcade, Craig?
Wait a minute. We went to one not too long ago.
Did you? They're kind of a retro movement. They're becoming more popular again.
Yeah, like vinyl.
If you're in San Diego, try out Coin Op or Emporium Arcade in Chicago. We're going to have to see if we can go to Coin Op.
We went to one. Where was that?
Isn't there an arcade museum in Vegas? Weren't we planning on going to that?
Yeah, there was one in Vegas we've yet to go to.
Okay.
But yeah, there's...
We saw that on the way out of town, didn't we? It's not far from the MGM.
There's one in San Francisco on the near the bay.
That's the arcade museum.
Yes, there's one there.
Once upon a time in 2009, I have audio that I am still looking for somewhere in this studio on a CD-ROM far, far away. And if I ever come across it, I will produce that. It's probably the oldest piece of recorded audio that I have not released on this show yet. And there are still a few.
You're going to sound like a little teenager. Hi, today we're here to look at the audio museum.
From 2009. That was when I went out and did the National Park Service podcast training.
Yeah. But what, I'm trying. It's killing me now. We went somewhere and I was amazed at all the games they had. I don't know. I'll figure it out later.
Dragon Con. They had some.
Yeah, they did have some there. When we could finally get out of the place. I don't
know. Or into the place. They changed it in the middle of the night. They walled up a whole section, I swear.
Yeah, it's like we were given something to go to sleep and we wake up and the walls, you know, moved, or like Labyrinth.
Or Hogwarts.
Yeah, the stairs moved.
I swear we took a left here and a wall, but there wasn't a wall here yesterday. Anyway, we have one last thing we want to close you with, and this is a man who took a Google Home, which is, you know, the you can talk to it, ask questions, play music, do searches, buy things, and an Amazon Echo, which is like, this, I think he's in the video, it's got an Echo Dot, which is the short version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he put appointments on his calendar. And he, here, let me just play it for you. This is pretty rich what he does. He starts out with Alexa.
Alexa, what's on my calendar tonight?
Tonight, there is one event. At 6 p.m., there's, hey, Google, what's on my calendar tonight?
And that wakes up.
You have a calendar entry today at 6 p.m. The title is, Alexa, what's on my calendar tonight?
Tonight, there is one event. At 6 p.m., there's, hey, Google, what's on my calendar tonight?
You have a calendar entry today at 6 p.m. The title is Alexa.
And it pretty much goes around and around like that.
Yeah, it's funny.
Tonight, there is one event at 6 p.m.
And then the earth implodes.
Hey, do you use Siri a lot?
Once in a while. If it's something I don't really know what I'm searching for, or I'm too lazy to go to Wikipedia manually, I'll just ask Siri, when did Galileo die? You know, somebody says, how old was he when he died? And we'll say, I'll just pick up the phone and ask, hey, Siri, how old was Galileo when he died? And it'll do the search for me. That's about the extent of what I use Siri for.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious.
How about you? Oh, you just got an iOS iPhone. You were talking about it on the last show. And it took a whole extra day. And Craig was texting me every 5 minutes. Still waiting. I'm still waiting for a phone. Why is my phone here?
I hate it when it says out for delivery. And you're like, okay. Well, it was actually delayed an extra day. I don't know why. It's just, I refreshed the UPS page and it said Tuesday. I went, what? Come on. Anyway.
When you're waiting for something so exciting.
Yeah. Well, my using Google, Google Voice Search and the assistant.
Yep.
I think I got more use out of that than I did Siri. I think Siri's a little slower when just holding the button and talking, trying to talk to it, or say, I'm not going to say it right now because the phone will act up or pick up. But I think that the Google assistant is much quicker as far as just, you know, operation.
Yeah.
Than Siri. But I do use them a lot when somebody says, hey, can you do this on Tuesday, or I got to do something on Tuesday. It's easier to put a calendar appointment in by speaking it than actually typing it out.
Yeah, it is. I mean, well, I use the speech to text all the time.
Yes.
I was scanning business cards and a couple of them didn't come over so well. I was putting them into Evernote. Mm-hmm. And the title would be all jumbled together or something, and I would, or didn't come out at all. And I would just put the cursor there, hit the microphone and say, you know, director of IT. And it would do the transcription for me. Oh. So I use that all the time.
Yeah. Texting is
texting.
is almost so much faster when you just speak it.
Yes.
You know?
I was sending something to Lisa because Lisa's coming out to visit over Christmas. I said, do you want to make bread when you come to Phoenix? And, mm-hmm. you know, it was just so much easier to do that than trying to type, do you want? It's like, ugh.
And she used the voice dictation and said, no.
No, she said, yes, and we're going to be making fresh bread, fresh homemade bread. Well, she did a great job last year.
It is easier to say, create a calendar event, Tuesday, 8 p.m., or haircut at 8 a.m., and then it's done.
Yeah, except you got to get it on the right calendar. I've got about five different calendars. There's Donna's calendar, there's my calendar, there's my work calendar. And it doesn't, by default, it puts it on a generic phone calendar, which doesn't do me a whole lot of good. Reminders are very handy as well. You know, remind me tomorrow at 9 p.m. when I get home, blah, blah, blah.
That I use all the time.
Yep.
For reminders. But yeah, add calendar appointments for sure. And you know what? As a matter of fact, I think on the Patreon show tonight, we're going to talk about using these automated tools.
Good idea. Okay, there you go, which will be out Monday for the patrons. Or is it Tuesday? When do the patrons get their thing?
Tomorrow.
Monday. Okay, Monday. Patrons get... You know, we talk about it second, but they get it first.
Sure.
Time warp. Okay.
That's right.
Our question of the week for you, for the public. This is not Patreon people. This is everybody. We want to know, what do you think wearables of the future will be like? Because the wearables market is somewhat declining of late. You know, it started out real promising, and a lot of people wear them. I think it's a very specialized market that certain people have a need for, a use for, and there are certain devices that lend themselves well, or certain functionalities that lend themselves well for wearables. But mm-hmm. where do you see them in 5 years or 10 years?
I know. On my ankle? I don't know.
Pierced ear.
Yeah, pierced ear. I'm gonna have some earrings that vibrate
your Bluetooth headphones can just be right there all the time.
That's right.
If you had wait, did you just come up with the idea of pierced earrings that vibrate?
Yes.
Oh, that would rattle your brains. Your fillings would fall out.
I know. I'm just. Could you imagine talking to somebody and you see their earlobes shaking back and forth?
Hey, baby, that's kind of hot.
Dude, what's wrong with your earlobes? Anyway.
All right. That takes us to the end of the show. We want to hear from you. There's the music. We want to hear from you. Once again, the listener line is 707-530-2428. Give us a call on the listener line if you've got comments. We want to know about what you think wearables will be like. We want to know what you think of the boiling, freezing water wires stuff we talked about earlier. You can find us on the social interwebs. Technorama Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and all that other good stuff. Oh, email us if you want to. Also, share this video, please. If you got this far in the Facebook video, congratulations. We applaud you. But also, do us a favor and just give it a quick share. The more we reach, the better off we all are. Support us. If you want to be a Patreon person, lots of good benefits in there. Good for you, good for us. We already do that thing. A comment on the iTunes store is always appreciated. And we're going to close with Craig giving us a binary high five like we always do. Go for it.
101. I don't know why I'm pointing at the webcam, but I'm doing it.